You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, talking with CEOs this week about leadership, how'd they do it, what didn't work, what did work. And the goal is that they're going to teach us about leadership, what they've learned. We're also going to learn about their businesses and what's going on in the market. It's all here at Leaders Portfolio. We're now in studio with the general partner and co-founder of New Enterprise Associates, Chuck Newhall. Welcome to Leaders Portfolio, Chuck.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Now, New Enterprise Associates is a global venture capital firm with approximately $11 billion in committed capital located in Chevy Chase, Maryland. And your three areas of expertise are information technology, healthcare, and energy technology, companies at all stages in a company's life cycle. And so one of the things I was interested in that is that some VC firms fund only one stage and you fund all stages. What are the pros and cons of the two different approaches?
Well, our time to liquidity has gone from 2.5 years to 8.5 years. That means we have to put four times as much money in. So in this environment, unless you're dealing with capital-efficient companies like social media, where they can break even quickly and be profitable, if you try to start a pharma company as an early-stage company, and that's going to take $200 million to get it commercialized, you better have the follow-on capability either on your own or work with firms that do. So 70% of our investments are A-round investments. But for every 5 cents that goes into innovation, $1 goes into startup and $8 goes into follow-ons. And unfortunately, the way the world is headed with the collapse of the financial markets, this is getting worse, not better.
And so, yeah, that's kind of another great conversation, which is how have you had to adjust your strategy with the collapse of the financial markets? And probably one of the things that makes you a leader is your ability to adjust quickly.
Well, you take in NEA 9, we were 88% technology. In NEA 10, we were 40% healthcare. So our job is to find paradigm shifts. That's what we do. You know, the internet, we started UUNET, digital communications, Juniper, the Ethernet, 3Com, balloon angioplasty, rational drug design, rehab, pharmacy benefit management. We identify a paradigm shift, and then what we do is exploratory drilling. Fund company A, fund company B, fund company C, all along those paradigm shifts. And we do it in the three areas, which are healthcare, biopharma, devices, services, a variety of technology companies, and a variety of energy companies.
That's interesting. So you see this paradigm shift and then you fund it. How often do you create the paradigm shift?
Fairly often. We have take our device companies. We have such a incredible device companies that most of those we incubated in our offices. And we have about three incubators that we work with. And then we'll end up providing the majority of the funding for those device companies. I'm on the board of a company that my partner, Chip Linehan, and I helped start. And it's Bravo Health. It's dealing with the dual eligible frail elderly. It's like a managed care HMO, case management. And we started in our office this year. It should have $1,750,000 of revenues, up from $1.2 billion last year, significantly profitable. And what it does is it takes out 70% of the cost in the last 3 years of life by case managing, keeping the patients out of the hospital, out of the emergency room, and out of the nursing home, keeping them in community clinics and working with their primary care physician. Better quality of life, better outcome. That's what I call a paradigm shift. And we funded a company called Amerigroup, which was another managed care HMO, this time for Medicaid. Now is about a $6 or $7 billion company that does the same thing with the Medicaid population.
How often do companies not work? that you fund?
The historic odds in the business were one company would make 10 times, three would make 3 to 5, three you would be lucky to get your money out after you'd lost all your hair like me, and then the rest would be total wipeouts. So now, I think we've managed to improve on the ratios, but those are the historic ratios.
How often does a policy happen and it just kind of radical? For example, healthcare, right? This healthcare policy, which just passed, all these different CEOs now are kind of saying, oh, we got to figure this out. We got to figure this out. How often does something like that pretty radical happen and just, you know, everybody's calling a meeting? What are we going to do?
Let me give you an example. Now, this happens in the healthcare service business. It's less likely to happen in the other fields. But with prospective pay in the nursing home business, they enacted this legislation, which made it impossible to make money off the ancillaries like rehab therapy, all the things you do in addition to providing a bed. And within 6 months, 8 of the largest nursing home companies were out of business, totally bankrupt. They each employed 100,000 people. And it was, imagine, devastating an industry when we're going into old age on such a scale that it's never. So, but for the most part, the effects of changes in policy are evolutionary. So the FDA right now is really struggling to find itself. That impedes pharma companies and device companies, but it's more in delaying the length of clinical trials.
What do you think, for what you do, we're speaking with the general partner co-founder of New Enterprise Associates, Chuck Newhall, with approximately $11 billion in committed capital, global venture capital firm. What do you think is one of the unique leadership characteristics needed to do your job well? Because you're in the predictive business. Mm-hmm. You're in the analyze, pros and cons. Is this going to work? Are these the right leaders? You know, is this the right market time?
Well, I think people are our most important decision. So we often tend to finance the same person over and over again. And probably 80% of our deal flow comes from people that we backed before. It may not be backing them again, but they know of some young entrepreneur or venture firms that we've worked with. 2/3 from our portfolio companies, 1/3. And that's what makes a venture capital firm unique, is because they have these deep relationships with CEOs, and they come back and they come back and they come back.
And you're one of the largest venture capital firms in the country, 165 employees. What are the pros and cons of that?
Well, let's take the medical area, which is my area. Mm-hmm. We can provide a company someone who's run clinical trials, usually in their particular area, often from one of my partners. You've had serious experience as chief executive officers. In my case, I have a lot of experience with finance. And then you have scientists, PhDs, molecular biology. So we can bring to a company so much assistance. And then our ability to attract money to the company, our ability to make difficult decisions, to change people. We really want to enter into a partnership with the entrepreneur.
And that's an interesting fine line. I worked in foundation and funded grantees mm-hmm. as well. And one of the questions when you gave out a few million was, are you going to manage me, right? And if you have a great relationship, it's actually an amazing resource. Mm-hmm. And so that's an issue with VCs, right? Is this fine balance of how much do you manage the company versus kind of letting them roll?
Well, one principle of NEA is alignment of interest. Align the limited partner's interest with the general partner's, with the entrepreneur's. And what we have is a totally unique compensation system. We have a very low fee, and we have a very high carried interest. Now, people think that the carried interest, which is sharing the profits, is the most important determinant of limited partner returns, but it's not. It's the fee level. And to make it simple, NEA will invest 90 cents of the dollar into companies. A firm with a 2.5% fee and no recovery of capital will only invest 66 cents. So the company with more oil wells in the ground is going to do better than the one that's not. What is important about this is the only way we make money are capital gains. We don't have salaries. We have a loan that we have to repay. So we have to pay back all the capital and all the expenses of the firm. We're taxed at ordinary income rates on those loans. But our one interest is capital gains. And so what do our limited partners want? Capital gains. What do our entrepreneurs want? Capital gains. It so simplifies the business when you all have the same identical interest. It is not like Goldman Sachs, where you sell a client something and then go short.
Right.
Which I don't understand how people get away with that. But needless to say, the venture business is all in. We care for our customers' yachts.
Excellent. All right, we're speaking with the general partner and co-founder of New Enterprise Associates, Chuck Newhall. You want to share with us for NEA a leadership decision story, some leadership project where it showed leadership with NEA?
I would say financing Juniper was a very interesting process. And Juniper, pioneered high-speed data communications. And my partner, Dick Kramlich, the other co-founder with Frank Bonsall, was on vacation. But the company came in to Mark Perry and Peter Morris, and they did a lot of the due diligence. But Vinod Kalosa from Kleiner Perkins was on the board and knew Dick and wanted him on the board. So Dick went on the board. But my other partner, Peter Barris, started another company called UUNET. And UUNET was the internet. 70% of the traffic that went on the internet went over UUNET. So we can say that we helped create the internet. The chief technology officer, Mike O'Dell, bought Juniper's first great order. And that was the thing that totally made the company take over all the internet traffic. Mm. And so we try to work with a variety of different people on companies, share our talents, and then hopefully contribute to making them successful.
Excellent. Well, when we get back, I want to continue some of these interesting NEA stories.
In the case of Juniper, we invested $16 million and got out, I think, $1.7 billion.
Wow. Talk about a return. All right. We'll get back to Chuck Newhall after this break, all here on Leaders Portfolio.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux-Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Do you believe that you have the best boss or client? Nominate them for the Leaders Portfolio Awards for Leader of the Year. Do you work for or own a company that practices strong leadership? Nominate your company for Leadership Business of the Year. Winners will receive powerful market awareness from Leaders Portfolio, including announcements on air at leadersportfolio.com and our business community mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith joins a panel of judges for the Leaders Portfolio Award. Nominate or apply now at leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
We're in studio with the general partner and co-founder of New Enterprise Associates, NEA, Chuck Newhall. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, and we've been having an interesting discussion about venture capital firms, kind of funding ideas and leadership as well. His is a global venture capital firm with approximately $11 billion in committed capital. Now, Chuck, you also founded the Mid-Atlantic Venture Capital Association way back in the day. You're now chairman emeritus, and over 80 venture capital firms are members. And so you think it's probably one of the largest venture associations in the country.
Yes. I think it's behind California, but probably ahead of Boston. When I arrived in the Mid-Atlantic in 1971, worked at T. Rowe Price, and then started NEA in 1977 with two other gentlemen. There were four venture firms in the Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington area, and Northern Virginia. I think that doesn't work to make an area into the Silicon Valley or Route 128. My theory about what makes an area successful is called the ducks on the pond theory. Consider a duck as an entrepreneurial company. If you have one duck in a big pond, no self-respecting duck will land there. If you have 100 ducks, you may get a few flybys. But if you have 4,000 ducks and they're sitting on the top of each other's head, you'll have all sorts of entrepreneurial companies because they split like amoebas. And so we needed to get mass in the Mid-Atlantic area. And I think at one point we had a membership as high as 120. It's now 80. When I left the Mid-Atlantic Venture Association, we had more companies in our area than Boston did. And so I felt that the association probably brought in $25 to $30 billion or more of financing when you include the public offerings where the underwriters came and went to our conference. It was a vastly successful effort, and I think one that really transformed the Mid-Atlantic from a sleepy little region that was government dependent into a vibrant entrepreneurial community.
It's interesting because when I first read that you started this, I thought, it's interesting because you're allowing more competitors to come into the area, right? You're bringing, these are the same people who are probably competing for the same companies, but you saw it as, it's going to attract more people.
We have a very Not so much in the West Coast, because the West Coast is more competitive, but the East Coast tends to believe that our other venture firms that we bring in, we may know the partners there better than we know in our own partnership, because we've been in 15 companies working together. And over time, you develop very close bonds. And so we don't look, there are firms that are competitive with us, but we look to try to make ourselves a good partner with those other firms. And over time, we do business only with the firms that we know well and work well with.
And you've been chronicling the history of venture capital. This is with fellow industry veteran Pete Bancroft. And you personally underwrote 10 interviews with leading venture capitalists and supervising another 10 interviews. So, of course, I'm going to ask you, how has the field changed over time?
Well, the field is in crisis, because there were 1,200 venture firms in 2000, 800 on the list of the NVCA, but only 400 of those can get capital. And if the new tax rules come in, the tax capital gains is ordinary income, I think the industry will go down to 200 firms.
Really?
So
wow.
Financial markets have created this really great problem, and that's a whole other discussion. But the National Venture Capital Association's records go back to 1987, with some references back to the 1970. But there was an institutional venture capitalist by the name of Andrew Mellon that started Gulf Oil, Carborundum, General Reinsurance, and Coppers. IBM is a venture deal. 3M is a venture deal. Eastman Kodak is a venture deal. Walmart is a venture deal. Lawrence Rockefeller, 1939, funded Polaroid, Eastern Airlines, McDonnell Douglas, Thiokol, Cessna, Piasecki Helicopter. If you really, what we want to do is, the history of the venture business is oral. So we want to capture the oral histories of these venture capitalists that are older and are going to be passing away, and have a record that Raychem was founded by Draper Gaither Anderson in 1947 or 6. And so those oral histories go on paper. And then the University of Virginia is thinking about writing all the big Fortune 500 companies and getting their, how they were venture back, like Lucius Ordway and Angel back 3M. When we do that, I think we can show that about 90% of the economy has come either from angel or venture financing over the time. And this is an old business that goes back to Ferdinand and Isabella backing Columbus, or the Venetians who backed Marco Polo. But we really need to prove that, so the industry's value to this country can be known.
And you got into venture, you said venture kind of was generally formed at 87, although there were some earlier references in the 70s. So you got in right in the beginning.
Well, I put the beginning about 1780. So.
Okay. Well, obviously not then.
And my father was in the Spences.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One of his first deals was Thiokol, and my children are both in the business. So we've been in it since 1945.
Interesting. So when you were growing up, did your dad ever let you make decisions on deals to learn?
No. Who was the Chuck Yeager would be for dinner. Edwin Teller would be for dinner. And I got to meet these people and grow up around them and ask them questions. So it was a very unusual environment. I think my children have had the same experience. So I grew up in swaddling clothes next to entrepreneurs.
Interesting. That's great. And you also mentioned, that this capital gains, how the taxes are going to change. I almost wonder, too, if documenting the history of venture capital and seeing that shift, that this law or this potential law changes are going to lead to changes in BC. It's almost like a political book in a way.
That is correct. And the problem is they lump us with the hedge funds, which are trading on 6 months, the buyout funds that have 2 or 3 year holding periods, we're partners with the entrepreneur. We're in there for 9 years, and we're like a little tiny flea that's getting squashed when the elephant sits down, and no one knows what's happening to us.
Is that kind of part of your discussion, is how would your business model change, or would you take less, you know, projects, or would you bring in other partners? And
I think we'd continue raising big funds, because that gives you the strength to march these companies all the way the distance you have to. And I think we would actively look to encourage some form of hybrid public market for companies, and also work on mergers and acquisitions much more effectively than we have in the past, although over 50% of our exits are M&A activity.
Interesting. When can you tell when a company's that you're funding is not going to work? Or is it there's no trend?
When the dogs don't eat the dog food. You know, if you have a product and you put it on the market, but that's a very tricky thing, because I can't tell you how many companies, second, third, or fourth product worked. And so it's very much a matter of judgment. And, you know, in the case of a biopharmaceutical company, so the first product doesn't work, but they have three other partnerships behind that, and they're in clinical trials, you know, you keep on riding that one. Whereas if you have a device company going into a single market and that doesn't work, well.
That's your answer.
That's your answer.
We're speaking with New Enterprise Associates General Partner and Co-Founder Chuck Newhall. And I want to get a little bit into his background, which is he's a bachelor's in English literature from the University of Pennsylvania and an MBA from Harvard University Graduate School of Business. So I'm going to ask you, what did those academic years teach you that you now use in the business?
Well, I think the English major, it said that if you're an English major, you get the keys to the world's libraries. So what you do is have an opening on learning all sorts of other things. So I'm reasonably competent in neuroscience. I've learned so many different things in this business. The other thing it did was make me aware of the romantic hero in English and British literature. And I studied that. I had independent study for the last 2 years at Penn. And who is the romantic hero? The entrepreneur who was sitting around the table when I was growing up. So I was on a hill called Hamburger Hill in Vietnam. We'd suffered immense casualties. Overhead, the flight refueling system that my father had pioneered as a Lawrence Rockefeller investing partner saved my life and my company's life on that hill. And I said, if that isn't a sign, I don't know what is.
That's interesting. It is interesting how your background can kind of interweave, and it all comes together anyway,
right?
All your
right.
experiences. That's good. We're speaking with Chuck Newhall, general partner and co-founder of New Enterprise Associates. And, you know, another interesting thing I was thinking about is, you know, your firm does IT, healthcare, and energy technology. You specialize in the healthcare area.
Right.
How easy would it be for you to jump to a different area?
Well, once upon a time, I did software and technology investing, too. We were all generalists when NEA started. But the business has become so complex that it demands specialization. So right at the moment in my partnership, I feel like a Model T Ford in the Indianapolis 500 because I have all these people that are so much more knowledgeable than I am in the healthcare sector that it's just fun to listen to them talk.
Interesting.
So,
and it's become more specialized. Why?
Because your ability to help companies is so much greater when you have specialized knowledge. And now, a lot of the venture capitalists that were my age were generalists. And I think the business needs generalists, because generalists sometimes can see paradigm shifts, you know, look around the corner and see that the world is going to do business in a totally different way. And whereas the specialists tend to sort of extrapolate the present. But I, you know, NEA has a combination of specialists and generalists. So I think we'll keep that ability to search out paradigm shifts.
And my last question is, you're going to leave the business when? What would you have
changed? I'm going half-time in 2011, but I'm going to, you know, continue to work with NEA and support it, and I also want to give my son a hand, too, who his firm manages about $2.5 billion in venture fund-to-funds and direct.
Wow. Excellent. Excellent. That's so interesting that you've been multi-generational. Is that right. Common for VC firms?
There are two. One other family, the Drapers. Huh. General Draper to Bill Draper to Draper Gaither, or Jurgensen.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, I want to thank you for coming on Leaders Portfolio and being with us and sharing your insights.
Rebecca, it was a pleasure to meet you, and I hope it's useful.
Thank you. Chuck Newhall, general partner and co-founder of NEA, here with us on Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. I want to thank these exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio: Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk. They're a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're a business and you're interested in making people aware of your product or service, consider joining our family, being a sponsor of Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. We're going to come back with a Leaders Portfolio Award winner on the other side. So stay tuned for that. It's all here. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, Leaders Portfolio.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests, with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774.